They want a guy that dresses really, really well and looks good, but they don't want to pay him anything. They want his wife to be uber-talented, but to always know her place and keep her mouth shut, you know? So you have all of these things, you know, that those are the kind of the stereotypes. But stereotypes are sometimes based on a little bit of truth, aren't they? You know, just a little bit. And so anyway, you know, the bottom line is this. And I'll just use myself as a personal example. I pastored two churches. Both of those churches did very well under my pastoral leadership. But it was because I fit at those churches. There are great churches, great, great churches, that if I had been called to be their pastor, it would have been a disaster. Because I see what I'm trying to say. And what you guys need to do is, yes, you need to find a guy that matches all your criteria, but what you really need to do is you need to find the guy that fits you, that fits Willa Bend, and is a good, you know, because it's a marriage. It's marriage. And in marriage, you always agree, amen? Don't you? No, you don't. But it works. It works. And so anyway, guys, here again, I'm thankful to be your interim, and the next thing we go into is going to be very exciting, because we're going to emphasize some of the things that you're connected to, like the BSM ministry, things that you're connected to outside the walls of this church that you support, that you encourage, that you foster those ministries. And by being part of Willa Bend and supporting the budget here at Willa Bend and being a part of the activities here at Willa Bend, you support those ministries. And those ministries would not be what they are without your help. And to me, that's exciting. That's always exciting to see how we're bigger than the sum of our parts is bigger than just us as individuals. So anyway, we're on day three of our looking at the characteristics of Jesus, Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, what? To the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And I want to start out by saying, yes, this is our last week to look at leadership. What is a leader? What's a leader? A leader is someone that you can follow. A leader is someone you can follow. And you know, in our world today, we've already talked a little bit about this, but we are very, very suspicious of authority figures. We're very suspicious of leaders, because we may have believed in somebody and they may not have been exactly who we thought they were, right? Or they might have led us astray, or they may have, you know, had a different alternative motive than what we thought they should have had, or whatever. And, you know, when I first started, one of my mentors said, Dal, leadership is very, very difficult in this day and age, because if you don't lead, people will not respect you. But if you do lead, some people will resent you. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But I want to tell you something. When your committee comes together and your elders put that committee together and the committee starts working and all of that starts happening, if you can't follow this guy, if he can't be a leader, then you don't need to call him. Plain and simple. If he can't be a leader, you don't need to call him. And so, how was Jesus a leader? We looked in the first week about how Jesus was a man that knew who he was. Jesus said, I am. He knew he was the Son of God. He kept in constant contact with his boss. He got up early in the morning. He stayed up late at night. He got away from the crowds. He stuck to his mission and was passionate about his cause. He didn't get sidetracked on what God wanted him to do. He believed in himself. He knew that he was the door, the vine, the gate, the shepherd. You call a guy, he needs to know who he is. He's not an autocratic dictator. He is a servant leader a minister, but he needs to know that. He needs to know who he is. Jesus had internal anchors. He said, why do we seek after the approval of men? We should seek after the approval of God. And so it's not always easy to do what God wants you to do when men are pulling you in a different direction. But this leader needs to have internal anchors, needs to be able to do the difficult things. Jesus did the difficult things, even though he knew it was difficult. Sometimes, as a pastor, you've got to do difficult things. A person can do difficult things. He said, thank you. Jesus had the ability to humble himself and thank God when he asked God for things, even though we know Jesus, God himself. He owned it. He took ownership of his ministry. And, your next pastor needs to take ownership of this position of pastor at Willow Bend. He was willing to look foolish. I used a long illustration a couple of weeks ago about this, but sometimes everybody's not always going to understand. And this person needs to be strong enough to look foolish in some people's eyes, because sometimes you can't explain everything you do. And he sacrificed himself. Jesus sacrificed himself. And you need to call somebody that will sacrifice themselves, in a sense, for the ministry here. Then we looked last week about how Jesus was a man of strong relationships. He gave his followers a vision of something larger than themselves. And isn't that one of the glories of the church, that we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, that it's not just us, that we band together with other believers, and we become greater than just the sum of our parts. Jesus said yes. We talked last week about how Jesus said, yes, I'll come to your wedding. Yes, I'll come to your party. Yes, I'll come to your house for supper. And yet at the same time, Jesus didn't say yes to everything. Jesus couldn't say yes to everything. And your next leader needs to be a person that says yes, but he can't say yes to everything. And you need to know that. Sometimes he's going to need to say no. Jesus empowered women. We talked about that. And here again, there's all kinds. Man, I want to tell you something. You start looking for a new pastor, there's guys on both ends of the spectrum. Okay? And I think I pretty much know where Willow Bend is. You just need to find a guy that fits in with your beliefs on what women, the place of women in the church and the place of women in ministry. And I don't believe a guy that thinks that women, ought to be barefoot and pregnant at home all the time is going to fit in here at Willow Bend. I just don't think that's going to happen, okay? But there are guys out there like that. You need to know that, okay? You just don't want one of those guys here. Jesus empowered women. He believed in his people. He believed in them. And you need a leader that believes in you, that's willing to teach you and guide you, but believe in you. He forgave them. Jesus forgave them. And sometimes, church made up of people. And people aren't always what we ought to be. And sometimes we need to forgive each other. Amen? Yeah, need to forgive each other. You need to find somebody that's not going to be holding grudges and forgive. And you talked about in your survey the importance of biblical teaching and preaching. Jesus educated his people. And not that, please don't get me wrong, not that your next pastor needs to have the answer to everything, because if he has the answer to everything, I'd be pretty leery of him, okay? But he needs to be able to teach you the Word of God. Teach you the Word of God. He prayed for them. Jesus prayed for his followers. You need to find a person of prayer. He wanted the best for them. You see, he loved them, and he wanted the best for them. And that's the next thing. Remember last week we spent a long time on Jesus looked at them, and he loved them. Somebody that loves. Somebody that has the ability to love. I believe I've met guys in the ministry that are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I just have a hard time believing that they really know how to love. It's hard for some people to love, And we need to, you need to find somebody that's able to love you. I know Dave loved you, and that's why you loved him. And you need to find somebody that loves. And then Jesus died for his people, and he lives for his people. And And you know, the whole secret to the Christian life is dying to self and living in that new kind of life that Christ gives us. And that's a review of the last 2 weeks. Now this week, we look at how Jesus was a man of action. Jesus was a man of action. You know, one of the biggest problems in the church is that we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk about doing all kinds of things, but we never ever get around to doing things. And don't get me wrong, I'm for education and I'm for talking. I'm for a good plan. I really am, man. I'm for a good plan. But it's time to do. It's time to get out and do sometimes. So our first point this week is that Jesus always had a plan. Jesus always had a plan. Jesus always knew where he was going. He always knew what he was doing. Jesus never wavered from his plans. He knew what he was to be about. He was a man of action. Omar Bradley during World War II said this. He said, "A good plan executed in a timely fashion is much superior to the perfect plan executed too late." You hear that? A good plan executed in a timely fashion is much superior to a perfect plan that's executed too late. I know you've probably heard the story. It went around years ago, but it's one of my favorites about this guy, you know. And he owned a fishing group, and he took people on fishing tours, and he had this company, and he went on a trip, and he said, "Okay, I just want y'all to take care of business while I'm gone." And every time he would write back, they would say, "Oh, things are going great. You know, we're having seminars on fishing, and we're checking out the best fishing equipment, and we've looked into the new baits and the new lures and seminars all the time. People, man, you wouldn't believe the people that are coming in to learn about fishing and all of that other stuff." And he got back, and they hadn't had one single fishing trip since he had left. They talked about it, but they never did it. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we in the churches did as much as we talked? Unbelievable. So Jesus had a plan, and he implemented that plan. He formed a team. Jesus needed helpers. You need a leader that doesn't act like a lone wolf. You need a guy that's not going to be a lone ranger in what he does, that forms teams and believes in the team concept and working together and helping each other. Because, you know, the old saying, and I hope you don't ever feel this way. I hope you never say this. But, man, I don't know how many times when I was a full-time pastor, I would talk about something. They'd say, "Well, Pastor, we pay you to do that. We pay you to do that." No. If you want to be a Bible-believing church, you know what your next pastor does? He equips the saints for service. He equips you to do it. And then you go out and do it. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't do it too. Don't not saying that. But for you to say, "No, we pay you to do it." No, you pay him to equip you to be able to go out and do it. And so, you know, you need somebody that's going to teach you. Form a team. You know, we talked about this. I talked about this another sermon. But Jesus called a question. You know, how many times do we discuss? We form a committee. We discuss a little bit longer. We'll talk about it again last month. Let's table it for a while. Let's do this. Let's do that. And we never, ever make a decision. We never, ever make a decision. I think because of your polity here in the church, because you have elders instead of a more congregational polity, you probably don't have this problem as much as some other churches. Your elders make a decision. You know what? They're the ones authorized to make a decision. And here again, I haven't been around long enough to know any of this stuff, but if there's a decision to be made and the elders are not making it, you need to ask them why they're not making it. Because that's their responsibility here at Willow Bend. But Jesus called the question. He didn't wait and he didn't put it off and he didn't, you know, he made decisions. He made decisions. Jesus saw things differently. Some people say, you know, Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, no, he's just asleep. That's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Well, we can't do that. No, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do that. Jesus saw things differently. And if we're really going to believe in an omnipotent God that can do all things, that wants to work through us, that loves us, and wants to change the world, we've got to think differently. We've got to think with faith that God will move through us, that the impossible is possible, that good things can happen, that life, the way God wants us to live it is abundant and rich and full. And it's not only that way for us, it's that way for the people that come in contact with the message. That lives can be changed, that marriages can be healed, broken relationships can be put back together, that wonderful, wonderful things can happen. We need to see things differently. You can get jaded, can't you? When you work in this world and you see all the troubles in this world, but Jesus knew that things could happen. He saw things differently. We need to too. Your next leader needs to too. You know, Jesus boiled it down. He was good at summarizing things. People were always coming after him, you know, trying to trick him or, you know, tell us about this theological thing or that theological thing. What did Jesus say? Well, let me tell you. Let me boil it down. You know, you can take all the scriptures, all the prophets, all the law, all of that, and you can boil it down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, Jesus didn't make things more complicated. He made things less complicated. And here again, I know some preachers that want to make it more complicated because it makes them look smarter. No. You want a guy that's going to make it less complicated. It's going to help you figure it out and get after it, you know, and boil it down. I like this one. Jesus served the best wine. You ever notice that? He didn't serve the bad stuff. He served the good stuff. You know, he served the best wine. And what that says to me is Jesus wanted his followers, he wanted the people around him to have the very best. And we deserve the best. Now, I'm not talking about material possessions. I'm talking about the best that God has to offer us. And not settling, you know, but asking God to richly bless us, to help us inherit the land and have all the blessings that he wants us to have. Jesus, you know, was always saying, why not me? You know. George Truett, the famous pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, he was there for 47 years. I did my dissertation on him, and his staff was always trying to protect him because he was so popular in the city of Dallas, just about everybody wanted him to do their funeral. Well, guess what? George Truett couldn't do every funeral in Dallas. But people were always coming up to him and say, Will you do my father's funeral? And he would, and if somebody wasn't there to snatch him away, George would always say, yes. I want to. Yes, I'd love to. Way before, you know, any kind of racial equality, way before the civil rights movement, they say the George W. Truett, the most powerful pastor probably in the United States of America, did more funerals for minorities than any other pastor in the state of Texas because that was his heart. He loved people, and they loved him. You know, why not me? Why not us? See, your next leader needs to go, why not me? Why not us? Why not Willow Bend? Why can't we do that? Why can't we get going with that? But you know what? Something else, too. Jesus was able to let it go. Think about this for a minute. You're the Son of God. You come to teach, to preach, to further the kingdom of God in this world. You know that there's so much left undone, but it's the Father's timing for you to go to Jerusalem, for you to be tried, for you to be put to death on a cross. So much left undone, and yet it's time for you to leave. What did Jesus say on the cross? What was one of the last things he said? It is finished. He said, it's finished. Jesus did what he was called to do, and he left the rest up to God. Boy, that's hard sometimes. That is really hard to let it go and say, in this situation or that situation, you know what? We've done all we can. We got to let it go. We've done all we can. We've got to leave it in God's hands now. We've got to leave it in God's hands. And so Jesus was able to let it go. And your next leader needs to be able to just let some things go. Let it go. We've done what we can. Let it go. He came to be a blessing. Jesus came to be a blessing. You ever thought about that? Everybody looks at John 3:16. I love John 3:16, but I love John 3:17 just as much. You know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Jesus came to be a blessing. He came to be a blessing. And here again, yes, do I teaching real doctrine, strong doctrine, not saying that black is white and white is black, not bending what the Word of God says, but at the end of the day, underneath it all, always wanting to be a blessing to those that come under the ministry. Always wanting to be a blessing. Always wanting to be a blessing. He came to feed. He came to heal. He came to wipe away fears and tears. What did he get? He came to be a blessing. And here again, this is my opinion, but you want a pastor that comes to be a blessing. And finally, Jesus gave it his all. He gave it his all. As human beings, we have to be able to let it go. We have to be able to get away. But you don't want to call somebody that sees being your pastor as a job. Yes, it will be his job. But you want to call a guy that sees it as his calling. As what God has called him to do. And he invests his life in this ministry and gives all that he has to it. Not somebody that, punches a clock 9 to 5 and don't bother me after that. Somebody that will give their all. And so, here again, the next person you call is not going to be Jesus, okay? He's going to be a sinner just like you. Be a sinner just like you. But these are some of the characteristics that we can look for in that next person. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what the future holds for you here at Willow Bend. What God has in store for you. I don't believe you've been here 100 and how many years? 66. I don't believe you've been here 166 years for nothing. God has sustained you. God has kept you here. And God, so much potential here for being an unbelievably bright, bright light in this part of Collin County, in this part of the North Dallas area, Plano, all of that. God has wonderful things for you guys today. And here again, we're building a foundation where it's not sexy, it's not pretty. Guess what? I'm looking at, I sold my house in San Antonio. I'm looking at houses. Did you know that when I go and look at a slab, it does not excite me? It has to have walls. You know, it has to have, you know, what does the bathroom look like? You know, blah, blah, all that stuff, right? Right? But without the foundation, I'm in trouble. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're doing right now. Thank you for being patient with the process. Thank you for being part of the survey. Thank you for putting up with me these months. You know, if you like me, that's good because you're going to hear me a few more months. If you don't like me, that's good because you only got to put up with me a few more months, right? Isn't that right? So there you go. You win either way. Okay? One of the things that God has asked us to do until He returns is to come around His table as His family, to break bread, to understand that that bread represents His body, to take grape juice, understand that represents His blood. We're going to pray here in a minute. Kevin's going to come up, and he is going to lead us in the Lord's Supper. Part of God's plan for us, part of being the people that God's called us to be. Understand, the Lord's Supper was important to Jesus, so it needs to be important to you.